Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for June 26th in the year of our Lord, 2023. This is indeed hour one of two. And the goal always, to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, including the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the peaceful solutions we still have at our fingertips. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Last Friday, we were with Dr. Scott Bradley. And we were also with a gentleman by the name of Tom Rigsby. He's the executive director of American Contingency. They say our mission is to inform, equip, train, and connect Americans to be self-reliant, resilient, and prepared for any contingency. AmericanContingency.com. They have a really cool program we talked about in detail. Tom brings 14 years of military service to the table, 30 years of business experience to the table. During his career, Tom has been hosting a weekly radio show focused on small business, and he's able to provide all kinds of commentary on preparedness. How can we prepare for the coming crisis? It's all about the right mindset, Tom highlights. Let's create our own, quote, My Ready Plan. MyReadyPlan.com is where you can learn more about their efforts there. You know what? Even an incomplete plan is better than no plan at all. The best plans, though, are better with a team. Be part of a community. Learn more about what they're doing. Their best advice? There's no such thing as too prepared. Amen to that reality check. So we had Tom on first hour. Second hour, we talked about Ron Paul. We need to generate a tidal wave of vocal opposition to the central bank digital currency right now before the crisis hits. Make no mistake, the central digital currency would be the end of your financial privacy and the end of your political freedom if you don't rise up against it now. The Campaign for Liberty is building a nationwide network of patriots to organize and mobilize in opposition to the central bank digital currency, ladies and gentlemen, because our political freedom absolutely depends on it. We talked about John F. Kennedy's quote, "Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable." Well, I think that's a valid quote. I modified the quote slightly. The Sam Bushman version says this: those who make peaceful restoration impossible, of the greatest country in the world impossible, will force a violent revolution reality. I don't want this, folks, but I'm telling you, they're not going to let go easily. Donald takes aim at Ron. Ron says he doesn't know if he'll support Don, even if he's the nominee. Musk and Zuckerberg supposedly are going to have a cage fight. And it's just insane. Boebert and Green having battles on the House floor of who's, quote, impeach Biden resolutions better. Wow. Kevin McCarthy literally rails on the House floor against the impeachment of Joe Biden, saying there's no case. There's no case against Biden. Has he lost his mind? Meanwhile, Hunter Biden deducted prostitutes and sex club fees from his taxes. Yeah. We also have the government now documenting that, you know what, Hunter Biden threatened Chinese officials, threatening that my father's in the room, you better send the money. Lo and behold, 5 million plus came days later. Yeah. He threatened Chinese businessmen to pay up while Joe was documented in the room. We also hear that lab meat is now for sale in the United States. It's no harm, no worry. this fake grown meat is just fine, they claim. Folks, this genetically modified stuff is disaster. We've got more unexplained diseases and illnesses than we've ever had before. Even though we're supposedly getting more and more and more knowledgeable about disease and the human body and science, and then how can we know so much less? Because we're causing a lot of these diseases. In fact, there's a big war with Mexico right now. We want them to buy our genetically modified corn, and they're saying, uh-uh, we don't want your genetically modified crap. We're going to do our own corn that's not whacked out corn. The battle's on, folks. It's insane. But we continue to insist that we're right, and we can force our will on everyone. The blowback from this will be tremendous. Sad but true. Whenever the government gets involved in things they ought not, it goes awry. Dr. Scott Bradley is with me. He's the founder and chairman of the Constitution Commemoration Foundation. And he's also the author of the book series and DVD lecture series, To Preserve the Nation. To learn more, freedomsrisingsun.com. Dr. Bradley, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Sam. It's always good to be here and kind of stir the pot and rattle the chain and see what kind of interesting things we can bring up that somehow get overlooked by most of the lame brain media that's out there. You know, they're just kind of they've got their, it's not just a narrative normally, it's not just a storyline, it's a script. And so people should be able to know that everybody that's out there is on the same page. You know, in your local news, you got the if it stuff, but you know, if somebody drowned recently or there was a car accident or something, but the national international stuff, it's the same drivel that they're feeding you across the board. And it's kind of a, you know, keep everybody just kind of tucked in on the line that they want you to hear. And really, they want you to make sure that you don't wake up and start reading about it.
You got that right. In fact, whenever the government gets involved in where they ought not, it goes awry. Whenever the government gives you money that they don't have or that they are not authorized really to provide, there's strings attached and it goes all awry. Latest headlines from UPI. Joe Biden to announce $40 billion to increase high-speed internet across the United States. Where did he get the money for this? Did Congress vote on this? I must have missed the bill, Doctor.
Well, you bring up something again. That you're always bringing up these things that have all these strings attached, and it's hard to, you know, ever do justice to these things. But you bring up, we're a bankrupt nation, number one. Number two, tell me where in the Constitution there is authority for the president or anybody in the general government to do this. And read number 10, Amendment 10, that says, if we didn't give you the power, you don't got it. And then you read the process in Article 1, Section 7, how bills are brought forth, and you astutely bring up the fact there has not been a bill. And then you read Article 1, Section 7, Section 9, Clause 7, no money shall be drawn from the Treasury, but in consequence of appropriations made by law.
And then you break down the House responsibilities further, and anything that has to do with spending money must originate in the House. So there's 56,000 provisions stopping the president from doing this, but he just rolls it out, and no one seems to bat an eye, Doctor.
Well, it's
except
like,
for, of course, Sam Bushman and Liberty Roundtable Live, right?
We just make it, don't we? I mean, you just have to print the presses. You know, when I was a little boy, when I was
printing the presses is illegal, too. We're supposed to have constitutional currency, gold and silver coinage, sir.
To coin money, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 5, coining has to do with stamping precious metal. Go back and look at the original definition of it. Look at what happened in August of 1787 when they discussed this in the convention, where they said they weren't going to put paper money. Unbacked paper money out was going to be as dangerous as the mark of the beast spoken of in the book of Revelation, so said they in the discussions. They voted on it. They said no. Every single stinking level of this is sick and wrong. And as you point out, nobody bats an eyelash. Where's the CNN? Where's the MSNBC? Where's Fox News? Well, they're all pretty well in the dregs of everything. But But you're right. I don't know where he pulled this $40 billion out. I mean, you know, I hate to be too graphic, but I'm telling you, that's about what we got going here.
Well, you're right about that. But things get even stranger. Not only are we going to spend $40 billion on that, but they say that this leads to Joe Biden planning to spend all kinds of cash on the great infrastructure. They say, hey, this is going to be the biggest thing since Roosevelt's New Deal kind of stuff. This is going to be massive government spending on all things, I don't know what you want to call it, in America. Well, while that happens, to prove that there are problems, not saying government's the solution, but now a bridge over the Yellowstone River collapses, sending a, quote, toxic freight train into the drink. Yeah. So now we've got a bridge melting down in Yellowstone. You've got a train and you've got toxic waste. We've seen more and more and more toxic waste realities, crashes on trains. I mean, look, they're highlighting how unsafe the railroad really is. And now Joe wants to do the new Joe Railroad. And so you're going to have spending like we've never seen before. We're going to spend ourselves off a cliff if we the people allow it. Let's skip the break on this one. Dr. Bradley, if we the people allow it, this is going to be disaster.
Well, I mean, I don't think the bridge thing, by the way, in Yellowstone, it's over the Yellowstone River, yes, but I think it's kind of north and east of Billings that it went in the river. Now, the river doesn't end at the boundaries of Yellowstone. And if anybody's been there, it's a pretty monumental place. But the point of the matter is that you're right. There's a lot of problems out there, and if Joe wants to go out and build back better or whatever he's doing, that's another funding issue. That's another constitutionally blocked issue. The only thing they can build is really poke roads. And, of course, if there's national defense things that are involved, and you can read Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, where they talk about the land holdings. All of this kind of stuff are impediments to everything that's going on. And what's the latest Biden railroad thing? What's he planning on doing with that? I mean,
oh, he wants to put a bunch of money into upgrade the railroads.
Well, aren't they kind of private businesses? I mean, maybe I'm misunderstanding something. I don't know. Maybe we ought to talk about
that. Well, they're calling it the second railroad revolution, my friend.
Wow, that's an interesting thing. We do need railroads. We need transportation of all sorts. But the general government has nothing whatsoever to do with these things constitutionally other than post roads. And so there has been, by the way, we could have a discussion about that if you wanted. But the idea of linking the nation together, you know, through that effort to make sure we could all, you know, keep track of what was going on and all that kind of stuff was important. But no, they constitutionally, this idea of building a national railroad or a national highway system or anything like that, the National Transportation Safety Board, the FAA, all those kind of things. If we need them, we ought to decide we're going to change the Constitution to allow it, but it doesn't right now. You know, it's a head scratcher to me. I'm scratching my head all the time, as you might well imagine.
Well, there's even a term for this. I don't know if you know, but his nickname is Amtrak Joe. You know that, right?
Well, that's because he went back and forth between Delaware and Washington on Amtrak.
He's got more miles on the railroad than anybody you know, buddy.
His face looks like it, too. But anyway, no. Sorry. That was Humphrey Bogart. No. So, anyway. Yeah. I don't know. He's got this love affair with the railroads, maybe, but a lot of people have enjoyed railroads over the years. I mean, there's a lot of kids, I mean, even from my childhood, that had these HO railroad sets set up in their family's basement family room. It took up their whole family room with all of the things, but it was a nice hobby. It's not something that Joe needs to rewrite history on, though. Interesting.
Well, he's literally fixing to do it. They're saying it'll be the next Amtrak revolution. All right?
Wow.
How Amtrak Joe's infrastructure push could put rail back on track in the United States. It's that I don't know what you want to call it. Some would say forward-linking. I would, or forward-looking. I would say backwards-looking. But there you have it, right?
Well, wait. Isn't he so fixed? It was just a few weeks ago. He was wanting to build a high-speed railroad over the Pacific Ocean. You know,
yeah,
that went 8,000 miles an hour or something.
But look, he's the rail guy. He's going to just put everything on rail. He's going to, you know, all the foreign nations, he's going to go ahead and build rails in their countries, connect it all. It's going to be incredible.
The railroad guy. Everything gets railroaded through, right?
Yes, it does. You just look at this, though, and you think, are you kidding me? Now, ladies and gentlemen, this $40 billion for the internet, this whatever we're talking about for the railroad, I don't want a second railroad revolution. And let me explain what I mean. Not by government, I don't. Look, the Communist Manifesto highlights government control of transportation is one of the 10 planks to make a nation communist. All right? I don't want that. Now, if you want to talk about private sector, you want to reduce taxes, you want to make it possible for, you know, people to be prosperous again, I love the private sector to create bullet trains in America. You could crisscross the country and not need airplanes. And, you know, believe it or not, trains are one of the least expensive ways to move freight and people around. It's one of the least expensive per mile transportation solutions. I don't deny any of that. But it must be done right in America, doctor, or else I'm telling you, it's going to go off the rails. Pardon the pun.
Well, originally when they were doing these things, and there were little railroads all over the nation. Some entrepreneur came in and said, hey, you know what? They need to be able to move stuff from here to there. Let's put a railroad in. And they did. And, of course, then the general government got involved, and they seized huge swaths of land and gave the railroads, you know, a mile on each side of every foot of railroad. I mean, the government got involved, and they went coast to coast, but it wasn't a constitutional issue. I mean, we've been wrong a long time. I mean, the Lincoln administration was pretty well engaged in this thing all along the way. So it's it just gets worse. I mean, you give them a mile. I mean, yeah, give them a mile because we keep giving them miles. We give
yes,
them
indeed.
An inch and they take miles. Miles.
Yep, you're right about that, ladies and gentlemen. So the bridge over Yellowstone collapses. Joe's going to go ahead and fix that for you. Don't worry. It reminds me of the Obama. You know, women would run around going, oh, my gosh, Joe's going to buy me a car. I'm sorry, Barack is going to buy me a car.
Or
it
a cell
reminds
phone.
Me of that. Or yeah. A cell phone. Yeah, good point. You know, so they say how Joe Biden's infrastructure push could put rail back on track in the U.S. How the administration could, quote, transform America's embarrassing rail service. That's from Business Insider. I just put at the end, not exclamation point. Because you know what? That ain't going to happen. It's all bogus. The government doesn't belong in this realm at all. Meanwhile, Kevin McCarthy, who believes there's nothing wrong with Joe Biden, there's nothing to even, you know, bring up Joe Biden on charges for. There's no case here, says Kevin McCarthy. He ought to be fired from the House. The conservatives so-called gave a bunch of, you know what, we're going to control you, Kevin, if you're going to be speaker, fine. But now he's literally off the rails. Pardon this pun again. He's literally saying there's nothing wrong with Joe. Joe shouldn't be investigated. Joe's just fine. Where are the conservatives to say you've lost your speakership over this, buddy? You're out of control. Instead, the House of Representatives supposedly passed a resolution to impeach Biden. Now, I'm saying again, not all these stories are fake news, folks. Look, all they did was pass the resolution that Lauren Boebert of Colorado put forth, and the resolution says bring it to committee to look at it. That's all it said. Well, of course. And it didn't even get 218 Republicans at all. It just had the majority, so it goes to committee. But they're nowhere close to impeaching Joe Biden. The speaker's against it, which means he can shut it down any time. They don't have even 218 votes, even for a resolution for a committee to consider it, much less the votes to get it done in the House, much less the Senate. This is so far from reality. The Republicans are so compromised. This is done before it ever started, doctor. Now, I don't like that because I think that Joe's a criminal and he should be impeached and indicted and arrested and charged with criminal mischief and activity. But you know what? They're not even close. There's a few holdouts like me in this House that would really do it. But there's no mojo there to impeach Joe at all.
No, this issue that Boebert's bringing up is basically his unwillingness to uphold his oath of office. his complete abandonment of the sovereignty of the nation and allowing invasion, just unmitigated and there is nothing holding back the invasion at this point coming through our southern border. And Joe's completely on board with that. Of course, Kamala is too. I mean, she's the czar, isn't she, down there? I'm not sure she's ever really visited the border. But at any rate, no, this is a real reason to do this. This is the first time since 1974 when Nixon had this stuff going on with Watergate. And Watergate was, you know, just small potatoes. This was something that was some criminal activity involved with break-ins and stuff like that and cover-ups. But this thing is right before our very eyes. Millions upon millions upon millions of invaders.
And it's a national security crisis to pay to play with foreign criminal nations. But
well,
see,
yes,
no one
that,
seems
that
to care.
Bribery
In fact,
thing.
Boebert and Green are battling whose resolution's better to indict Joe.
Well,
or
put
to,
them together.
Quote, impeach Joe. They
we
can't
said
go
this
together.
The
They're
other
just
day.
Too busy calling each other little biddies and such.
Well, no, put them together. I mean, this idea, this is something too monumentally important to be arguing about who's going to get their fingerprints on this thing. I mean, you know, put both your fingerprints on it, merge it together, build the strongest case you possibly can, include every single stinking thing that needs to be brought forward in there. Make this so over an avalanche of justification. I mean, I wrote a resolution proposing the impeachment of Utah's Governor Herbert and Utah's Governor Cox, clear back in the nonsense that's been going on in the last 3 years here in Utah. And I think the resolution was something like 15 pages long. I mean, it was just giving the justification. It wasn't giving the evidence. All it was doing was quoting chapter and verse, if you will, in constitutional violations that they had performed. I mean, bring the whole case forward. Do not say, oh, well, you know, he forgot to lock the front door of the White House one night. Woo-woo! I mean, bring it all together. Why do you have to stop and think, well, my daddy's bigger than your daddy kind of thing.
And why should our side be in factions, though? Why would Lauren Boebert and Green be at odds in the first place? I mean, look, aren't they supposed to be on the same team riding for the same brand? I mean, I don't even get it, Doctor.
Isn't everybody in the House and the Senate and in the executive branch and in the judiciary and in, indeed, across
they
the nation,
be, yes.
in the states? We all should be. This is a, you know, if you look at George Washington's farewell address, and you know, we're Americans. We are Americans. First, last, and always, you know. This idea that, you know, we're here to preserve this great charter of our nation that allows us to be the greatest, freest, strongest, most happy, most prosperous nation on earth. And suddenly it's factional. Now, this has always been around. The regions were the big thing back in Washington's day. You know, the South versus the North versus the West or whoever. Who's going to get the advantage? Well, the idea Washington was trying to promote was, yeah, we're together. We wrote this thing. And we put it together on pretty arduous circumstances. By
and
the grace of God,
we
got it.
And if we apply it liberally, we can all win. Though this isn't my pie against your pie or my piece against. This is a we all win, Doctor.
Oh, no question. In fact, the nation became strong because of that. And in fact, by 1830, and Europe had just been blown away. I mean, here's some amazing stuff that had happened. And it was not without some herky-jerkiness. I mean, without going too much into too much history, but back during the Jefferson administration, there was an act of war perpetrated against the United States by the Brits. And maybe we can talk about that when we get there. But we couldn't do it right at that point. We just would have failed. We had to make some incremental steps.
And by the way, that is the solution for the future. Incremental steps towards restoration of the Constitution. The supreme law of the land for the greatest country on the face of the earth. A quick pause, freedomfest.com. I'm going to be there and highly recommend you're there as well. Freedomfest.com.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Lance Pry. President Biden has spoken with Ukraine President Zelensky and Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau about the weekend's events in Russia. The White House said the leaders affirmed their unwavering support for Ukraine against Russian aggression. This comes after a short-lived rebellion by the Wagner Group, a private Russian military organization led by Yevgeny Prigozhin. The Kremlin reportedly reached an agreement with Wagner to drop the charges against Prigozhin in exchange for the group ending its insurrection. The penalty phase in the Pittsburgh synagogue shooter trial is set to begin today. Earlier this month, a jury found Robert Bowers guilty on all counts in the 2018 mass shooting at the Tree of Life synagogue that killed 11 people. In the first part of the sentencing phase, the jury will consider aggravating circumstances to determine if Bowers is eligible for the death penalty. Legal experts say it's a near certainty the jury will find the defendant to be eligible, after which the jury will decide whether the defendant should be sentenced to death. Sarah Ferguson has been diagnosed with an early form of breast cancer. A spokesman for the Duchess of York said she's been undergoing treatment and was diagnosed after a routine mammogram. Ferguson's doctors have told her that the prognosis is good, and she's now recuperating with her family after a recent surgery to treat the cancer. A Bible signed by the King of Rock and Roll, Elvis Presley, is up for auction.
You saw me crying in the chapel.
The Moments in Time Memorabilia Company is hosting the auction, putting the good book up for bid at $95,000. The Bible was originally given to Presley as a gift from a fan. He threw his signature on the cover and even had a photo of himself and his mother on the inside. It was handed around to several relatives before it was handed over for auction. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Thanks for listening. It's well appreciated as we get this Monday underway. USA News.
I have diabetes. I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I have asthma. I'm at risk, too.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a vaccine that can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I will be at Freedom Fest this year, July 12th through the 15th in Memphis, Tennessee. I'll be broadcasting live from that event. Highly recommend you join me there, freedomfest.com, to learn more. Incredible events, speakers. We're all going to have a fantastic time. Hoping you'll be there. Freedomfest.com, July 12th through the 15th in Memphis, Tennessee. I hope to see you there. Christian Knuckles says, Trump is God's man. Proof he's being persecuted and prosecuted by the beast. Well, he's right about that reality check. That's for sure. The beast is after us all. The war in heaven shall continue, and hopefully we can be on God's side. That's for sure. Now, Dr. Bradley was talking about how it's essential for incremental moves towards that which is good, honorable, and right, codified in the supreme law of the land, Doctor.
Okay, well, you know, there's so many things to talk about. I mean, here's a few quotes out of Washington's farewell address, then talk about this thing in 1807, you know, about the Chesapeake incident and how we weren't ready to make it. So we had to step through this thing. And by the time 1812 came around, just in brief, I mean, here's Washington pleading with us for unification. I mean, the regional issues were so big at the time of his administration. I mean, everybody was talking more in terms of states and regional rather than there is a national element. A lot of the people today want to go back to a kind of the Articles of Confederation days, which was a failure formula. But Washington reminded us. Here's a couple little quick jumping through a few points. Interwoven is, as is the love of liberty with every ligament of your hearts, no recommendation of mine is necessary to fortify or reconfirm the attachment. He's reminding us, look, we got a good thing going here. He says we should indignantly frown upon the first drawing of every attempt to alienate any portion of our country from the rest or to enfeeble the sacred ties which now link together the various parts. Okay, so should these people be wrestling around trying to figure out who's going to get ascendancy of the big title or whatever or the big billing in the House? No. We're not going to try and weaken this. Citizen by birth or choice of a common country, that country has a right to concentrate your affections. The name of American, which belongs to you in your national capacity, must always exalt the just pride of patriotism more than any appellation derived from local discriminations. With slight shades of difference, you have the same religion, manners, habits, and political principles. You have in common cause fought and triumphed together. The independence and liberty you possess are the work of joint councils and joint efforts in common dangers and suffering and success. So he's reminding us this is a pretty good thing we got going. We can unify and we can make this go forward. Then he goes on to say, hey, look, you know, the West needs the East needs the South, I mean, and so on. Everybody's interwoven together like that love and the ligaments of our heart for our nation. And that, let's just jump forward a little bit. Just saying it did not make it. And so here we have during the Jefferson administration, we have this act of war that the Brits, and I'm not sure exactly if it was, if it all came together from order of the king or if there was just some rogue captain of a ship. But at any rate, act of war, horrific things. I mean, but if we'd have gone to war with Brits again in 1807, we'd have fallen right back
lost,
into their
buddy.
We would have melted right on down.
And that's what's fascinating. They create these so-called peace organizations to so-called prevent war, but it's an absolute lie. The UN Charter comes to mind today, Doctor.
Well, 78 years ago today, the United Nations Charter was signed. You know, in San Francisco, and it's like, holy cow, that was 1945. That was 7 weeks after the victory in Europe. I mean, the Germans had capitulated May 8th, I believe it was, and 7 weeks later we signed this charter. You're going, holy cow. And the victory over Japan was just weeks away. And what? How did all this come together? It's so interesting to me that this effort for a global government had been just roiling along. And in fact, I'm personally of the opinion that World War II was largely a result of the effort to try and make that happen because the League of Nations failed with the Versailles Treaty after it was signed but the United States Senate did not ratify it. And so there was an effort to say, okay, let's make our next run at this
thing.
This just
shows every time we stop them, they come back with a vengeance. And oftentimes they keep coming back till they get what they want. Look at the Federal Reserve. Andrew Jackson routed out the banking system, got rid of it, but then it came back. Now this comes back, right? The UN Charter, the Charter of the United Nations, is the founding document of the organization. It was signed on this date in history, June 26th. 1945 in San Francisco. They just keep coming back, don't they, Doctor?
Well, and it's interesting. A lot of people think, oh, wow, this World War II is over. We better do something about it. No. This effort started way back. And in fact, before Pearl Harbor in August of 1941, the draft of the charter was first put together. I mean, these guys plan for the long-range kind of stuff. And stuff, you know, you're playing, if you think, three-dimensional chess, but they've already finished the game, and you don't even know you're playing. And so we've got to be alert and attentive. We've got to recognize, we've got to have a discerning spirit. We've got to recognize that there is a concerted, undeniable, completely devoted effort to destroy the United States Constitution, and in this particular thing that we're talking about, to destroy it and replace it with a global government, in contravention of all international protocols that the United States developed everything it did under, dating back to 1648 Westphalian Treaty. Every step of the way, we have had a plan, if you will, for bringing about a free and sovereign people that could be free and prosperous. But the other side has been doing the same thing. And when you think about May 1st, 1776, when the Illuminati was born, if you will, what happened in 1776? That was when, right during the birth of the Illuminati in Bavaria, there was an effort underway to bring about a declaration of independence for the United States. Satan always has a counterfeit. Always, always, always. You look at when...
He always does and always will, right?
Absolutely. And so Marx comes along, you know, with, well, it was the League of Just Men were the ones that had chartered Marx and Engels. In fact, Marx's name wasn't even on the original document to publish and bring forth the Communist Manifesto. It had to be out by a given date because they had revolutions planned that had been in the works for years. And so as soon as it's published, boom, here come these revolutions. Dozens and dozens of them all across Europe. Fact of the matter is that it was, you know, not really correlated under the other than by design to say, we bring the document forth, it'll look like these spontaneous revolutions happened. Every step of the way is pre-planned, Sam, and the United States has been stepping in every single trap. And you go back and you look at, you know, Woodrow Wilson and Edward Mandel House back in the beginning of the 1900s, and you look at the globalist efforts, the Carnegies and the Rockefellers and the Morgans and all of these people with everything. The Federal Reserve was all interwoven with that. This is a plan. I mean, and if you don't believe it, you can say, well, some of your listeners may remember back in Vietnam, and this was pretty apparent to me. It seemed like, you know, everything that happened was kind of already known, and it was known, and any U.S. operation was known by Hanoi before the people that were supposed to carry it out knew about it. Every single thing, it's kind of a completely interwoven trap to get us there. These foreign entanglements like the USMCA, NATO, the United Nations, the European Union, every single thing is a concerted effort to destroy our liberty and bring about a world government that no longer has a constitution. We're the last great hope, and we keep giving it away from the lowest level of our nation to the highest. And we got to wake up.
And we seem to have no ability to right the wrongs. There's a lot of people that are awake and realize what's going on right now. There's a lot of people that realize, you know, what kind of trouble we're in. But we seem unable to do anything about it. But I got a little shred of good news that I want to highlight that I think is worthy of discussion. There's two pieces of good news, actually. Utah's Davis School District. They earlier pulled the Bible from its bookshelves in the ongoing nationwide book, quote, ban controversy. But now they've reversed their decision after receiving strong criticism from, they say, from conservatives. So they pulled the Bible because people wanted to get rid of, like, porn books in schools. So parents went down to get rid of porn books, but they made it, well, okay, we'll pull the Bible, too. Because, you know, the Bible's got some pretty interesting, I don't know what you call them, sexual details in it. And so they yanked it. Now the outcry from Americans, they've reversed themselves. And that just shows when Americans activate, get involved, good things happen. I have another good news piece to cover when we get back. You're listening to Sam Bushman and Dr. Scott Bradley on Liberty Roundtable Live.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, so many things to talk about. I find that good news, ladies and gentlemen. Good news that the Davis School District reversed themselves and put the Bible back, but it's a small victory. It's a defensive victory in many ways. Sad, but true. We need to start to go on the offensive, Doctor. Sidney Powell has gone on the offensive for quite some time, and now the Commission for Lawyer Discipline. Did you know we had a commission for lawyer discipline? Anyway, the Commission for Lawyer Discipline versus Sidney Powell now has a final summary judgment. They wanted to discipline Sidney for her stance going after election integrity issues. Here's the judgment. After all the battle, after all the money spent, after all the manipulation, the Texas judge applied what's called settled law and held that the bar had no evidence whatsoever. They call it as a matter of law. No evidence as a matter of law that Sidney Powell violated any rule in her, quote, four election fraud cases. There was four cases. And in all of them, there was no evidence in any way by fact of law that she did anything wrong whatsoever. But think how long it's taken us. She filed those lawsuits right after the 2020 election. We're literally in the middle of 2023, and they finally say, oh, she didn't break any law. What about the persecution and prosecution that took place? What about the penalties for such belligerent charges that have no basis in reality and anything else? Sadly, Sidney won, but she lost. It's kind of like the Bible back in school. We won, but wow, what a fight in the defensive. They're going after us so much, so even our wins are but small defensive victories at best, Doctor. Now, I highlight them because they're good news pieces, but the concern is they're small and they're defensive. When are we going to move the needle towards liberty? Not just, you know, if they're going 90 miles north towards evil, we'd slow them down to 70 and we're, like, excited? I mean, I appreciate the victories, but, sir,
if you go off the cliff at 90 miles an hour instead of 100, you're still off the cliff. That's kind of where we are right now. And the problem is that it's been said that they're highly organized, cleverly disguised, powerfully promoted. The bad guys are very well funded, and they're very well organized. They're willing to get along and go along with each other. We're wrestling around in Congress as to who's going to have their name at the top of the billing. And this thing about the impeachment, and honestly, you have the both parties opposing it. I mean, what happened to this idea that a single member of the House can call for a vote on whether or not the Speaker of the House can sit in the office? I mean, why doesn't anybody? I mean, we get this, you know, we hear all about, oh wow, wow, look at this wonderful thing we got as a concession when they were. Everybody was voting to put McCarthy in, and one of those things is one member of the House can call for the removal of the Speaker, but it's still not happening. The Speaker is
resisting everything. Yeah, no one's even done it, even though this guy literally says there's nothing wrong with Joe Biden, nothing to investigate here. Now, Joe Biden literally caught in so many pay-to-play schemes. It's a national security crisis. Now there's a headline that says China expands operations in Cuba, China, and Havana set for joint military training center in Cuba, just 100 miles from the U.S. coast. That's what the Wall Street Journal is reporting now, ladies and gentlemen, citing current and former officials familiar with the plan. So what's a bigger threat, Joe and his pay-to-play with communists? Or China building literally a base in Cuba? What's a bigger threat, Doctor?
Well,
while
this
we go
is
ahead
a
and fight about impeachment in the House, are you kidding me right now?
Yeah, this is a replay of the 1962 Cuban Missile Crisis. In many ways, there's a lot of parallelisms, and I remember
those days.
But the fact of the matter is that the belligerence, the standoff. But, you know, look at China's kind of doing tit for tat. That's kind of what happened in 62. We put missiles in Turkey pointed at Moscow, and we put missiles on Taiwan pointed at Beijing. I mean, maybe not literally in the sense, because a lot of our missiles are the way put there, but they are missiles pointed at China. I mean, there's a lot of things that are replaying. What goes around comes around. You know, there's nothing new under the sun, all that kind of stuff you hear. And indeed, you look at what Bill Clinton did. He sold the presidency to the Chinese. This is a continuation and a replay of what Bill Clinton did and our military secrets, you know, the pay-to-play kind of stuff that went on there to help get him elected, and how they've got propulsion systems in their submarines now that were U.S. developed and on our nuclear submarines, and he gave them to the Chinese. I mean, every step of the way, it's been a sellout. It has been an absolute sellout. Our, you know, strategic material that Hillary Clinton's State Department gave away for, you know, our uranium. I mean, come on, people. Do we see a pattern here? Do we see a pattern? And we got to quit, again, trying to decide who's going to take ascendancy in the top billing and things, and let's just get it done.
Well,
let's impeach
news,
and remove.
Natural News is reporting that Americans must prepare for cyber attacks. Some are saying Russia is going to attack and is already attacking the United States power grid. Hunter Biden avoids prison time under a deal with the federal prosecutor appointed by Trump, mind you. Joe Biden's a criminal. He and his son both took illegal money, got away with it. Instead of rotting in jail cells, you know, Joe sits in the Oval Office and laughs and mocks and thumbs his nose at anybody who opposes him. The Uniparty is driving a death nail into the Constitutional Republic, as I see it, Doctor.
Well, it is. And here's what's really interesting to me, is there is a specific statement. I mean, the Constitution specifically brings out bribery. This idea taking the plate for paste, you know, Article 2, Section 4. The President, Vice President, and civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. Well, when's a $5 million pay to play?
Pretty much covers the waterfront, doesn't it?
Well, I think there's some justification. We need to get to the bottom of it. We need to quit arguing about it.
Yeah, but your speaker says there's nothing here. Move along.
Well, that's the
and
thing.
Nobody, and not a single one challenges that, really. Where's Lord? No. Where's Green to go ahead and say, all right, you know what? We're done with you. You know what, McCarthy, you're done. We're going to be the first one to stand up and say this is bogus. We call BS on this. And, you know, where are they, Doctor?
Well, that's the problem is Utah's contingency. I mean, I look at our own home congressional district. Every single one of them's a McCarthyite, if you will. It's so astounding to me, and it's party over principle. It truly is. You find out where your bread's buttered. Oh yeah, McCarthy donated some big funds to get you elected, and you signed in blood that you're gonna go to the death for him and everything. It's really a sad scenario. This idea.
Well, and we put our faith and say the Jim Jordans, the Laura Boberts, the Lauren Boberts, the Enid Greens or whatever, and Enid Green.
Marjorie.
Marjorie Green, sorry, Enid Green. Wow, Marjorie Green.
Enid's a long.
Yeah, that's right. She's long.
A long time ago in Utah politics.
Yep. All right, but listen, now House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan of Ohio threatened during a Wednesday hearing to cut federal funding for the Department of Justice for the FBI over their conduct in Operation Crossfire Hurricane. He's not going to do any of that, Doctor.
No, just do it. Just do it. Don't threaten. This Bravo Sierra, talk is cheap. Let's see some action. I mean, we talk about, oh, ain't it awful, but then we go right down the same lane. You know, if you're in some, I don't know, on some deadly path, get off the path. Let's fix it. And let's have a true bare knuckles, let's go to the mat and say, this ain't no more. We are going to restore the foundational principles. We're going to restore the limits and bounds, and we will not allow them to cross over. I mean, like, for example, let's go back to the beginning of the hour. The $40 billion for some new something that Joe's doing for the internet. I mean, where did it come from, as you pointed out? Well, if it didn't get passed by, you know, the lawful means required in Article 1, Section 9 and Article 1, Section 8, those two things, you got to pass that litmus test. If it didn't
you
come
that
way,
right.
They got to grow a backbone and they got to say, no more executive orders.
And if they don't, we need to have a backbone ourselves and remove them and replace them with people who will. But I want to end on a positive note. And Caitlin Johnstone wrote an article that I like the headline to, Dr. Brad. And I want you to finish on this point, if you don't mind. Here's what it says. Your efforts make a difference, and we can win this thing. Your efforts make a difference, and we can win this thing. Isn't that a good way to end?
Well, it is, but we always say that. You know, it's we the people. It is we the people. But we the people got to grow a backbone, just like people in the House and the Senate need to. I mean, we need to say no. And quit going along to get along. I mean, I look at what happened, and I'll just use as example Utah. Over the weekend, they did this convention thing, the Republicans, and I had some contact with people that were at the convention, the Republicans, and they were just giddy. They had like, I think, 12 or 13 potential candidates that were going to try and replace the outgoing congressman that's resigning his office there from Utah. And it was like, of those people, I guess I couldn't find one of them that I had a spark of hope in. And different, they were lining up some for one and some for another, and everyone, you know, there was this kind of conflict of opinion and stuff, but everybody thought they had a say. And as far as I could tell, it was pretty much the same outcome regardless of who they got. I mean, yeah, by slight
nuances. That's
exactly
where they liked it, right? The uniparty works great.
That's right.
Vote the bums
so
out,
cool.
Only to get the next bum in that they want, right?
And I'm going, holy cow. I mean, you think you got a choice. I mean, literally, I had a conversation with one person that was, I mean, I could hear the cheering in the background and everything while we're on the cell phone. And it was like, yeah, it's so exciting, blah, 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 blah. We think this and that and the other. And literally, the more things change, the less they do. I mean, I was just astounded. And they think it's kind of like outcome-based education. Would you rather be stabbed, shot, hanged, dragged behind a truck until death? The answer to all of them is no, I wouldn't. There's another choice, and we've got to start finding those choices and stop being so giddy thinking we've been given a choice when we get served the same old drivel constantly. We can make a difference, but we the people have got to start thinking. We've got to start participating in maintaining our own liberty. That's where we got to go.
Roger that. Thank you so much, Dr. Scott Bradley. Listen, folks, freedomsrisingsun.com for incredible guidance on what to do to solve the problems. To Preserve the Nation is Dr. Bradley's collegiate series. Also, the weekly webinars you can sign up for and get involved in as well at freedomsrisingsun.com. Thank you, Doctor. This half hour is brought to you by freedomfest.com. I'm going 12th to the 15th of July. In Memphis. Hope to see you there. And our buddy, Christian Nichols, says Donald Trump is God's man. That's why the beast is persecuting and prosecuting Donald Trump. All right, there you have it. 1 hour in the can, hour two coming up. God save the Republic of the United States of America. Yeah.